Hi, I'm Mal Majoros. I am an 8-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. So today I'm talking to recording artist Margot Ray. She doesn't like to call herself a breast cancer survivor. She likes to call herself a breast cancer warrior. How are you today, Margot?
Hello, I am doing wonderful. Thank you so much for having me, Mel.
Excellent, excellent. And as some people know, I should say that Ron White is your husband. You're not Margot. You know, it's not the other way around because you're getting more well-known than he is. So.
Yeah, it is kind of funny.
That comedian guy.
I'm a little groggy right now because we've been traveling like crazy and doing shows, but I did have a career before I met Ron White.
Of course.
I actually met Ron White over 20 years ago. We've been together 8. We've been married 2. We try to tour together when we can.
That's excellent.
But I've never gone by Margot White, so it's kind of funny.
Did I call you Margot White? Was that the chemo brain coming in? I'm sorry.
No.
Okay, good.
I was just kind of clarifying. Yeah, exactly. No, you called me Margot Ray, but I also said I was doing wonderful instead of wonderfully. So, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Maybe that's the chemo brain.
Possibly. So I always like to start the show with telling our listeners how you found out you had cancer, and we'll go from there.
Well, I'll just preface this by saying that I had always scheduled my mammograms on and around my birthday, because it was I would always do my physical examinations during that month because it would be an easy way to remember when was the last time I had done it. I'm not a smoker or, you know, a drug addict, and very organically inclined when it came to food, and yoga and exercise is definitely an exercise need. And I was 1 month shy of my next mammogram, and my husband and I had gotten engaged, and we had gone to Europe and everything was fine, and you know, I checked my breasts all the time, and when we came home, I don't know, he felt it. And then, of course, he felt a lump on the left side of my left breast.
Oh.
And so, you know, like you do, you feel the other side to see if there's something matching, seeing if it's like a, you know, fibrous tissue or a cyst or something that kind of comes up during your cycle, and it wasn't. And we knew what we were looking for, and we went to a breast specialist. She saw it. She gave me another mammogram. It wouldn't show up. She gave me a second mammogram. It would not show up.
It was just in an,
so it showed
a weird
up on a
position.
Sonogram. So it's really important to have all types of, you know, imaging or types of checkups when it comes to hands-on or a sonogram. Mm-hmm. In my case, I had very dense breast tissue. Mm-hmm. So breast tissue that is dense looks a lot like cancer through a mammogram. So when you find cancer in a mammogram, it kind of looks like the marbling on a steak.
Right.
And but so does dense breast tissue. But then on a sonogram, cancer is black, 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 and then like a sea of really nice gray. And that's when, you know, we had to see it visually first. And then I had, you know, a million biopsies. And then I decided to have a bilateral mastectomy. I only had cancer on the left side, but I removed both. And I did reconstruction, and the odyssey continued.
Well, I mean, you're a perfect example of what I like to talk about on my show. If you know, if the mammogram was inconclusive, don't just take that as the final answer. You always get your go to a sonogram, or you have the digital mammography now, or like you said, biopsy, whatever. Don't just say, oh yeah, we'll find, we'll wait and watch it. I'm like, well, how can you watch it? Because it's in my breast. So, I mean, that's kind of impossible.
Well, you know, stress to the body causes inflammation.
Right.
And inflammation causes all kinds of injury to the body, including cancer. And, you know, even though I had considered myself a healthy person, I think, you know, I had had a really tough year. My father had passed away. There was a lot of upheaval in my life, a lot of life-changing things, a lot of great things too, but you know, basically my estrogen levels, they were trying to kill me. You know, my tumor was estrogen receptor positive. It was clean margins, not in my lymph nodes, no sentinel node.
Oh, that's good.
So, but they removed 7 of my lymph nodes from my left Axella, my left underarm. And then I was on tamoxifen, which is like a
horrible
estrogen suppressor, and for many years. And then all of a sudden, 3 years later, one of the lymph nodes doesn't look good, and it's the exact same type of cancer.
Ugh.
So I had the rest of the lymph nodes removed, and then I had chemotherapy and radiation. But I have to stress that I merged allopathic medicine mm-hmm. with homeopathic treatments. And I think that was the biggest contributor to my success as a person. I didn't want to consider myself a patient. And that,
right.
And it's really important to interview your doctors and find your doctors. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
And find the right one. It's a lifelong relationship.
You know? Exactly. And if you don't like the doctor you have, I always tell people to fire their doctor because they work for you. People forget that your doctor works for you. It's not the other
absolutely.
Way around. Yeah. And
absolutely.
In the middle of your first go around with cancer, you released your debut album the same year.
I did. I released my debut album, My Heart's Desire. It was very successful, highly acclaimed. It was a beautiful goal. And, you know, like I said, all these really great things were happening at the same time that this very challenging thing mm-hmm. was happening. But I think that's the beauty of life, right?
Right.
I mean, we're not going to get out alive, that's for sure. And I certainly didn't want this to take me out.
No.
But I also thought we caught it early. And I thought, hey, I am the perfect person to fight this.
You are. And you were able to
give it a try.
The amazing thing is doing your debut album, and you were on tour with that as well, or were you just doing radio appearances?
I've never stopped performing. and then especially the second time around, I had just finished a very long tour with Dave Cobb. We did a Christmas show together because I wrote a Christmas hit called This Holiday Night. And and I had to postpone my oncology appointment, the one that was going to basically determine what was wrong with my lymph node. I had no idea there was something wrong with my lymph node, but I had to postpone it because of the tour. And so when this all happened, when you're looking down the road of 1 year of all these treatments and mm-hmm. surgeries, and healing, and I just thought, you know what, I'm not going to look at this as a medical year. I'm going to look at this as a year of music with medical appointments in between.
That's awesome. I mean, you're the perfect person to be inspiring to my listeners because you did not let cancer stop you. Some people it would have, but I mean, going on tour while you're diagnosed and going through treatment, that's just amazing, Margo. Amazing.
Well, I constantly say that the biggest battle is between your ears.
Oh, yes.
You know, you have to be really careful who owns the real estate between your ears. and that comes with, you know, a diagnosis that can be scary, but mm-hmm. arming yourself with knowledge. You know, at the very same time I went through it the second time, two of our very good friends in our social circle had cancer.
Oh.
One had melanoma, one had pancreatic. Neither one of them survived.
Oh, no.
But at the same time, you know, it was all about what we do while we're here.
Exactly.
You know, don't let it kill you early.
I agree. And that's the thing I try to stress. It's like, okay, well, you have to find your bliss. Obviously, yours is music. Yours is touring. You know, someone else, myself, I play hockey. Other people may like reading or watching a good comedy or listening to music. You have to find what makes you happy during these times of when you're going through treatment. Even if your friend just comes over and hangs out with you, I mean, you have to find something that makes you happy. Don't let it rule your life, like you say.
Well, I've said when they say, well, is there any advice you could give to somebody mm-hmm. when somebody has asked me that? I usually give that advice to the friends and the loved ones of those who are diagnosed.
Right.
And it's basically, you know, be good company. You know, if you're going to go visit somebody, you know, bring them some food, or don't make it to where they have to get up and get
right.
you something.
And don't ask.
Make your visits short and sweet,
mm-hmm.
or pick up some groceries for them, or drive them to one of the appointments so they don't have to deal with that.
Exactly.
You know, that's truly being a friend. You know, maybe get a network of girlfriends or boyfriends who, like, okay, I'm taking lunch over there on Thursday. You're doing it Wednesday. that's a really nice thing. And so many people that I'd never expected to just come over and bring me something.
That's awesome.
Did. And a huge part of it is food, you know. There's a lot of healing in food, mm-hmm. especially when it's made with love.
And don't be afraid. Don't be proud like I was to, like, not ask for help. Because I think, I'll be fine. But, you know, like you said, your friends and even people who you thought were just, you know, acquaintances wanted to help you, wanted to bring you food. Hey, you know, let's go to the movies, or I'll bring over. Let's watch something on Netflix. And don't make your visit about cancer. Like, that's the last thing I wanted to talk about. You know, tell me how your day was. Hey, how's your day with your boyfriend? What's going on at work? What's going on, you know, outside? How was the drive? How's the weather?
Very true. You don't want to be the only girl at the party with cancer.
No.
You know, and then everybody kind of looks at you and tilts their head and goes, oh, how are you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just think that's nice. But if you're really asking me how I'm feeling, be prepared for the answer.
Exactly.
And this isn't small talk. And also, if I didn't have cancer, we'd be talking about something totally different.
Exactly.
So how about we just do that, you know?
I actually yelled at somebody because they didn't realize they were the 10th person who were like, oh, are you feeling all right today? And I was just like, no, don't ask me that. Tell me how your day is going. I'm still here. I'm breathing. I'm going through treatment, but I want to know how your day is going, or just talk about the usual things that friends talk about, because I think that's more important than asking me how my treatment was.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you have to deal with the treatments being like a new form of normal,
right,
in that period in your life, but you also have to continue with your normal. I mean, I think exercise is very important.
Oh, yes.
I juiced constantly. I still do.
Excellent.
You know, I drank juices all the time. I supplemented my diet, my protein, with protein shakes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, that I made myself. I found a very low sugar protein powder, and then I would mix it with, you know, almond milk or the right things, you know. There's a lot of over-the-counter quick protein stuff that's already in a can, but it's got a lot of bad things in it. It's got a lot of sugar in it. So it's really important to know what goes in your mouth and in your body. And oftentimes, Western doctors don't tell the patient,
mm-hmm.
hey, it's okay to go and seek, you know, acupuncture or some chiropractic or some lymphatic massage. You know, sometimes Western doctors get a little defensive about it.
Oh, yeah.
You say, well, can I go do this? Well, you don't have to ask them, first of all, permission, but you could bring it up. And most of them, even if they don't have the right answer, they'll say,
right,
it couldn't hurt. That's usually the safest answer that a Western doctor will give you. What I think is important is that you find a doctor that's open-minded and likes integrative medicine. That says, absolutely, you should go get some acupuncture. That should, you know, cool down your body temperature. That mm-hmm. should relax you, you know.
Lymphatic massage
was a big part of what helped my recovery.
And, you know, when you were diagnosed, and I was diagnosed 2007, I had to ask for a nutritionist because the hospital that I was at did not offer one. And I'm like, are you kidding? Like, the most important thing is eating healthy, obviously. I mean, you know, I'm relatively smart person, but, you know, I want to know, is there, you know, what are the superfoods like the broccoli and the spinach that are good cancer fighters? Even here, it was hard finding a nutritionist who was like, oh, yeah, well, I'm not sure. And, you know, that's when, you know, like you said, if you don't find a nutritionist in your area, there's lots of hospitals around. I know the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has some good nutritionist things online. Just find somebody who will help you, because you don't want to eat all that processed stuff. Like you said, you found the powders that you wanted, but it had less sugar and less of the, you know, if there's a lot of ingredients that you can't read and don't know what they are, then don't eat it.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. You know, and I had no idea. I got a nutritionist about a month and a half before I knew chemo was going to start.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And so, you know, I had no idea how to prepare myself for chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or the type of chemotherapy that they were going to use on me. And so, you know, packing on the protein,
mm-hmm.
protein, protein, protein. And I'm someone who doesn't necessarily eat meat,
right,
you know, very often. I'll eat seafood, but not, you know,
right.
I don't,
chicken.
I'll eat very simple, like salmon, mm-hmm. seafood like that. I don't eat a lot of high mercury, you know, swordfish,
right,
or anything like that. So there's only so much protein that you can get. I eat a lot of dairy, in forms of cheese and yogurt, but So there's just so many things that you can miss in your diet when you think, oh, you're fine, but everything's fine. But what your muscles require is something totally different. And I think I was really, I really benefited from that, from meeting her and having a few sessions. But even if you can't get a hold of a nutritionist, there's all kinds of good, credible resources on the web.
Right.
There's books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a great thing to give, you know, a friend.
Nice
a
cookbook.
Book helpful. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, not a dread of like, so you have cancer book or something
right.
like that.
My Aunt Susie died. Here's the book she read.
People gave me or like how many well-intended people were like, okay, you have to cook the mushroom for 45 days and then you sit on counter. Then you make tea.
Right.
And you're just like, okay, I know. There's all kinds of snake oil.
Oh, yes. Best thing is good nutrition, I would say. And exercise. I'm sure you, being on tour, I mean, you must exercise and run around the stage and everything, like, all the time.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite thing, I love that about touring is that, you know, I just get to take care of my voice and I get to work out. And I have to just be prepared and, you know, not eat too late. Mm-hmm. Although I don't eat before I sing and I love to eat after I sing. But then when I do, it's just such a rewarding meal. And then I have to stay up for a few hours.
Right.
Probably 4 hours because I can't.
You can't just come
that's
down.
That's really bad for your voice.
Right.
I sound a little groggy now because I just came in on a red eye. And so
oh.
Airplanes kind of dry you out right now.
Oh, yeah. You sound great. What are you talking
usually
about?
Usually I don't sound like a chain smoker. I'm not a chain smoker. I just really, I don't think my voice is awake.
Oh, you sound great. Well, you were just on tour. We were talking before the show. Tell me a little bit about the tour that you were just on, and I know you have one more show coming up in Santa Barbara.
Well, I did a bunch of shows on the East Coast and the West Coast. You know, I was in D.C., from D.C. to Savannah, Georgia, to Richmond, Kentucky, all the way over to Tacoma, Washington.
Wow.
My next show for the end of the year, I'm winding it down, is December 8th. It will be in Santa Barbara at Soho. It's a really fantastic place to see live music. They have a great stage, a fantastic sound guy, a good sound system. You can get dinner there, and
yes.
And I usually pack the house, so I'm very thrilled that people come out and support original music. But for the first time in a while, I'll be performing my Christmas song.
Yes, tell me about that.
Oftentimes I don't get to have a gig that's closely lined up with Christmas, so this gig will be fun.
And this is your this holiday night is your new song.
Yes, This Holiday Night is the name of my song. I also did a really cool kind of Marvin Gaye version, Silent Night, which
nice.
Is climbing the charts right now, and This Holiday Night is number 7.
Oh, awesome!
On the charts nationwide, so I'm very thrilled.
That's excellent. So do you take a break at Christmas time and then back at it in the first of the year, just lay low and chill
out? I do. My husband does, too. We mm-hmm. we historically take the last 2 weeks or so of December off.
Nice.
And we spend that in California. I'm in Atlanta right now. We have a huge, I guess our big holiday celebration is in over Thanksgiving. We do this thing called Black Friday at the White House.
Oh.
We have about 35 people over for dinner. I do most of the cooking, and about 20 of them spend the night, which is fun. And because everybody's already had their Thanksgiving, so they come in for Black Friday. It's great. The food's completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a band. There's a lot of dancing. It's a lot of fun. So after doing that, you know, Ron and I like our Christmas to be completely quiet, just he and I.
Yes.
And we chill out. We start back up around, you know, 10 days into the first year, the new year.
So do you ever go on tour with him? I was looking on your...
Yeah, we just did. We just did
mm-hmm.
a few
okay.
shows. Sometimes I'll find a venue next near his venue, and so I will perform with my band after his show, or we do a smaller theater inside the same performing arts center where he is.
So he's the opening act,
opening
and you're the headliner.
You know, I do this intermittently in between my own shows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he's the opening
act. So like in Santa Barbara, that has nothing to do with Ron, but
right.
It's nonetheless a lot of fun. So, and he'll be there for sure.
So he knows that he's the opening act and you're the headliner, right, when you're together?
You know, he does open for me sometimes. It's really cute. He goes on and does, about 15 minutes of comedy and introduces me. And I really like opening for him. I think it's fun. I do an acoustic set, me and my guitar player, and we sing about 4 songs, and I get to tell stories in between each song, and It's a lot of fun. It's a really good format.
So I was looking online. You've done a lot of stuff with the Noreen Frazier organization and the Let It Rain Brides Against Breast Cancer. Will you be doing that again this year? Or do you mostly focus on that during October, or do you do that all year round?
No, it was always a year-round thing for breast cancer. Obviously, it picks up more heavily in October.
Right.
Let the Rain was written by John Oates and myself. It was our first hit that we wrote together.
Nice.
And we decided to make it, you know, an anthem. Let the Rain is basically using rain as a metaphor for letting hard times wash over you. And that is the refrain, let the rain wash over me. So If anybody needs some inspiration, definitely check out that song. And, you know, it's going to be okay.
We will definitely have all those links on our on my Facebook page for the Cancer Warrior.
And thank you.
What else do we have going on for you? You have Noreen Frazier. You did that. You have your Santa Barbara. Anything else you'd like to share with us?
Well, I'm in the process of building a recording studio in my home.
Wow.
This is probably going to be one of the most satisfying projects ever, because I think of all the years and the money that I've spent on recording studios, and this is definitely a pro-rated studio. This is not a little tiny room with my laptop, you know? We did all the wiring in the last week or so. That's why I'm flying back and forth from the West Coast back to Atlanta. So we're building it in Los Angeles, and I could not be more thrilled to be recording my own music and producing in my home, you know, with all of my dearest friends and musicians who live nearby, just coming over and adding their beautiful talent to my song. So that's, I'm ready to go underground again and start writing some more. That's kind of my next project.
That's a lot of work right there.
It is, but I'm so thrilled. I have a lot of good people. I mean, I have someone helping me design the studio and building it out. And I think my 24-track console is arriving today.
That's just awesome. I mean, yeah, when you think of, especially being in radio, think of a home studio just being your 4-track and just a microphone. But I've seen a lot of people, like, I believe Don Was has a recording studio in his house, and it's just like amazing. And just to, like you said, not to be able to pay those recording studio bills. I mean, my fiance was over at A&M when they were still around, and those recording studios were amazing. And I can just imagine, like, as soon as you walk in the door, you know, you hear the money just like floating out of your pocket into the hands of the people in the studio. So just having that in your house and being able to like go down and get inspiration at like 4 o'clock in the morning where there's nobody there.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. It's the vibe of the recording studio. I mean, there's a reason why artists have made certain recording studios famous, because they just have a really great vibe. And this being just a beautifully appointed space, it's not like, oh, we tore out a bathroom and turned it into a recording studio. And that's fine, too. I mean, you can get great sound. This was definitely designed with the house. We built a house. It's taken 4 years, and this is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the second installation was all of the equipment of the studio. And so, you know, it's just a great hang, and Ron and I want to create a really fantastic vibe for artists and comedians, you know, to drop by and do the hang. And it's a really happy space.
Will you be producing, will you be behind the board for some of the things?
I won't be engineering, but I will be producing for sure. I have produced all my albums, and, you know, I've been a big part of the mix.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always in on the mixing and sometimes the mastering of the album.
Oh, you have to be as an artist.
You know, for me, it's a learning curve as far as editing. I've been, you know, doing a little bit of that over the years, using editing software or mixing. But, you know, I'm a songwriter and a singer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to focus on. And I love all the technology of it, but I find that I am very split in half when that brain comes into to play. If I have an idea for a song and I just need to get like a good drum groove down, and then I have to deal with all this techie stuff,
right?
My brain shifts and I go into techie mode, and that creative idea is gone.
I hear you. That makes
total
sense.
Because I'm definitely like, I will spend a whole day just doing techie things, and that's fine. But if I want to be creative, I don't want to be the one being techie.
Exactly.
So I have a really fantastic friend who's an engineer, who's engineered a lot of my work. And so she's going to be coming in.
Awesome. You have an extra room for her at the house, of course.
Oh, of course. An extra booze. She likes her red wine.
There you go. Perfect. You just get one of those camelbacks and just put it on her back.
Definitely.
Well, Margo Ray, thank you for chatting with me today. MargoRay.com is your website. You have your single, Never Too Late, and the Christmas song, which...
Never Too Late. I wrote with John Oates as well. Mm-hmm. It's my latest single, and now I've got my holiday EP this holiday night. Please check it out. My music is there. MargoRay.com, and that's R-E-Y. And Mel, thank you so much for thinking of me and having me on your show.
You're very welcome. And
lots of blessings to you, and I hope you are doing well and lots of good health.
Yes. Well, thank you very much, Margo. If you hang on, I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is Mal Majoros. I'm the Cancer Warrior. You can always find me on Facebook because I am a Facebook junkie. Check out my blogspot, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And as always, life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's the Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.